Tov. Today's daf is Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, and we're going to begin on Daf Chaf Amid Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Om Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Ado Lo Hutru Pase Biros Ela Li Ole Regolim Bilvad. So the heter of Pase Biros, where it's open on all sides and it's Paritz Merubah LaOmed, is a special heter only for Ole Regolim. So the Gemara immediately asks, Vasanya, we have a brisa that says, Lo hutru pase biros el gabi beheva bilvad. So it seems that there's a heter of pase biros even for animals, to allow the animals to drink the water. Nowhere does it say in this brisa that it's preconditional on ole regolim. And the Gemara answers, my behema behemas ole regolim, to facilitate the aliyah regel so that people could feed their animals. They established this heter of Pasi Biros. The Brisa continues, Aval Adam, but as far as a person is concerned, is Metapes Viola. In other words, if, for example, a person wants to drink from the bar, he's not allowed, according to this Brisa, to draw water from the bar out into Rishus HaRabim, but rather Metapes Viola. He has to, like, lower himself into the bar, holding on, as it were, on two sides with his two hands and his two feet, and then he brings water up from the bar. Eini, the Gemara says, Va'amar, is this really so? We have a statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Lo Hutru Pasi Biros El Lebe'er Mayim Chayim Bilvad. They were matir and relied on Pasi Biros in the case of a natural spring, the Ila Behema, and if they were Matir Tiltul for the purpose of giving drink to the animal, Mali Chai Mali Mchunasim, what difference would it make whether it's rainwater or spring water? And the Gemara says, Be'inan Midi Dechazi Li Adam. We need that the water be fit for human consumption, that we could drink this water. And the fact that a person could drink this water, that makes Pasi Biros reliable, and it is considered upgraded to the status of Mechitza, and Mayim Chashuvim would only apply if it is spring water. Gufa, let's go back to this price itself. Lo hutru Pasi Biros el behem bilvad, afal oda metapes viola metapes viyored. However, we have to make the following stipulation. Hoyu Rechavim, if the walls of the bar, of this well inside, are rechavim, are very wide, and in such a case, even if he stretches out his arms and his legs, he won't be able to go down, is afilu liodam nami, then even a person is allowed to draw water from the bar for his need to drink water. V'lo yimali odam mayim v'yitein lifnei behemto. A person should not fill up a kli, a utensil with water, in order to put it in front of his animal. Alva mamale hu, he can draw water from the bar, v'shofech lefnei behema, v'hi shosamei leha. And the animal, if you pour the water in front of it, is allowed to drink from the water. Maskif lo ravananim kein mahu ilu pasi biros. It doesn't seem, says Ravanan, that you've really gained anything by establishing this enactment called Pasi Biros, because in any event, you're not allowing the animals to come to the Svasa bar and feed the animals directly. So the Gemara says, I don't understand your question. Maho ilu lemalos mihem. What we're allowed to do is draw the water from the bar, and the bar itself is Rishus HaYochid, and take the water in the dli, in this utensil, out of the bar, into a, what would have been, a Rishus HaRavim. How can you take water from Rishus HaYochid out to a Rishus HaRavim? We must rely on surrounding the bar with mechitzos, which are called pasim, to make it into a Rishus HaYochid. Elamaho ilu rosha veruba shel para. We said that the minimum amount of distance between the well itself and the pasim that surround it is enough for an animal to go in there, rosha veruba. Now, why do you set up this shear of Moshe Merubah as a minimum if you're telling me that he's not really pouring the water or holding the water in the kli for the animal? He's only just pouring the water out. So wherever the animal is going to come in. The whole idea of Rosh HaVerubo is to allow feeding the animal, and the animal is close inside the Rishus HaRabim. And the reason why there has to be enough room for the animal to come into Rishus HaRabim is because otherwise he might take this kli out of Rishus HaRabim, I mean outside of the Pase Beros, in which case he's Chayef for Otsah. Om Rabbi, Hochamai Askinon. What this price is talking about is Be'evus Ha'omid Rishus HaRabim Gavah Asor V'Rochav Arba. So now we're talking about this trough where you can pour the water into one side of the trough and it sort of like rolls down to the other side. And this trough, this avus, which is where you feed the animal, has the dimensions of a rishus hayochid. So therefore, when you take the water out of the bar, which is itself a rishus hayochid, you're putting it directly into a rishus hayochid. And now what's going to happen is the animal is going to drink from this avus, from this long container, so to speak, rosho nichnas lebein apasim, and now the animal is going to go in. Now, we're going to begin our discussion here about what's called tchumin. The Torah says in Shmos, Perek Tes Zayin, shvu ish tachtov al yetze ish mimkomo. And the Chachamim learned from that poskal, Yetzish from Komo, that we should not go beyond 2,000 amo in any direction outside of the boundaries of a city. Now, exactly where are the outer boundaries of the city? Is it the last house, the last residence, on the farthest end, north, east, south, or west? Amrav Yirmiya, Bar Ab Amrav, Ein Burganin Bebovel. There's something called burgenin. Burgenin are little huts that were out there in the fields, and the security guards would stay in those huts. It wasn't really a residence, but nevertheless they could enjoy the benefit of the shade on a hot day, maybe even sleep a little bit there. So that Rabbi Yirmiya points out that in Bavel, we're not going to extend the outer boundaries of the city by calculating where is the furthest burgenin. That's not going to be allowed in Bavel. And we'll try to understand exactly why. V'lo pasi biros b'chutzot, and this whole institution called pasi biros, where pasim will substitute for mechitzos, that doesn't apply except in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel. So the Gemara now explains, Burgenin b'bavel lo, why is it that we don't calculate the end of the city from these huts? And the answer is, d'shchichei bidke, because it's very common to find inundations of water. In other words, that there's plenty of water in Bavel, and we're not going to count these burgenin, because since there's a lot of water that's flowing, we'll see later on that Bavel borders on two different great rivers, and sometimes these rivers overflow, so that's not a real place where people are going to set up burgenin. It may be unusual, but it's not something that we could give it chashivas, you know, that these huts will last very long, because quite often the waters would come and just wash away these little huts, these burgenin. Upasi biros b'chutzot lo. Why is it that outside, beyond Bavel, we don't allow for pasi biros? And the answer is d'lo shchichei mesifta. The centers of Torah learning were in Eretz Yisrael and in Bavel. There weren't too many talmidei chachamim who would study Torah out there beyond Bavel and go from one city to the other, and therefore they didn't want to be matir carrying in with based on pasi biros, except for those who are out there for the purpose of mitzvah, under the guidance of the giants of Torah. Aval ipcha avdinon. But the exact opposite we will do. In other words, there's a heter pasi beros in Bavel, because in Bavel there are Talmidei Chachamim, and Burgenin, we said that in Chutz Laretz, there could be Burgenin, not as far as pasi beros, but as far as calculating the Tchum Ha'ir, because in Chutz Laretz, they had Burgenin without being threatened with floods and so forth. Some of the Burgenin were considered like residences and expanded the boundaries of the city. Ike di Amri, we have another tradition. Amar Rav Yirmiyo bar Abba Marav, ein Burgenin upasi biros lo bebovel velo bechutzlaretz. According to this Lishna Basra, this second version, we have absolutely no reliance on Burgenin in Bavel, that we saw already in the first Lishna, but not even Pasi Biros. We thought that Pasi Biros could apply wherever there are Talmidei Chachamim that are traveling from one city to the other. And now, according to the second version, we're excluding Pasi Biros in Bavel. The fact that we excluded in Chutz Laretz, that we made sense out of before, we said because there are no Mesiftas in Chutz Laretz, but there are Mesiftas in Bavel. So Gemara explains the second Lishna. Burgenin b'Bavel lo. Why is it that we don't rely on Burgenin b'Bavel? Is because d'shchichei bidke, because there are these inundations of water, and therefore we cannot consider the Burgenin as a mokum choshev, as a bayis choshev. It's going to be washed away. But chutzlaretz nami lo. And even in chutzlaretz, we're not going to, according to this particular Lishna, we're not going to rely on Burgenin. D'shchichei ganve. Because the Burgenin, with all due respect, are not really protecting us from Ganovim, from thieves. So again, you cannot upgrade the status of Burgenin to that of Batim. Pasi Biros beBavel lo. Why shouldn't we rely on Pasi Biros in Bavel? After all, there are Talmidei Chacham, there are Mesiftas in Bavel. That was the center of Torah learning at that time. D'shchichei Maya. Because there was plenty of water, an ample amount of water, as we said before, because Bavel borders on many different sources of water, and they didn't need to carry from the wells water out to the Rishus HaRab. There was no real pressing need for that, because there was such a voluminous access to water, it was not necessary. But in Chutz Laretz, where they certainly needed water, and you could justify the establishment of Pasi Biros, but nevertheless, there were no real Torah centers there that we could rely on, or that would need, you know, to go from one city to the other. Amalei Rav Chizda, Lemori, Breder of Huna, Breder of Yirmi of Bar Abba, Amri Asisu, Mi Barnash, Le Beknishta Daniel, Dahavi Tlosa Parse Beshabsa. And Rav Chizda tells Mori that he heard a rumor that they were carrying, or at least traveling on Shabbos by foot, from a place called Barnish all the way to the synagogue of Daniel. And there was a tradition that synagogue in Bavel goes back to the time of Daniel, before he was thrown into the lion's den. In any event, the distance between this location called Barnash and the shul of Daniel, two different locations in Bavel, was a very substantial distance. It's called Shalosh Parsos. And that goes way beyond the Tchum Shabbos of the city of Barnish. So Barnish, you could take it for 2,000 Amah. But here we're talking about Shalosh Parsos, which is more than three times that amount. It's way beyond the Tchum. Amaisam Chisu. So Rav Chizda said the only idea that I can come up with to justify how you could rely on expanding the Tchum Shabbos for three parsos is Aburgenin, because apparently outside of the city limits of Barnish there were Burgenin, and that would expand the city. But Ha'amar Avuch De'Avuch. In other words, we heard from the father of your father, which is Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, that Mishmei the Rav, and he said in the name of Rav, Ein Burgenin b'Bavel. We don't rely on Burgenin. It's not called a bias, as far as Bavel is concerned, because of the floods, etc., etc., is nafach v'achvile. So Mari goes outside and he shows Rav Chisda by pointing, hanu masvasa. Masvasa are runes. I remember when my wife and I were in South Africa, we saw many different almost townships that were made up of runes. People actually moved in there, but we're talking about runes that have no resonance. Dimivlaan, and they are within the outer boundary of the city of Barnash. Bishivim Amavishirayim. And if you go from one little township of runes to the next one, you'll never pass an area that is 70 Amma plus. And we could always expand the city as long as there's continuous resonance or batim that are not separated by 70 and a little bit more Amos. And basically what Murray was telling Rav Chisda is that we rely on these masvasa because even though they're runes, but nevertheless they still have mechitzos, and since they still have the mechitzos up, they have the status of batim, and therefore we can expand the outer boundary of the city, such that we are able to go even as much as three parsos on Shabbos to reach the Beis Knesses in the place where Daniel had his Beis Knesses. Amar Rav Chisda, Dorish Mari Bar Mar, Mai Dechsiv. Now here we start an Agadita. We're studying a pasuk in Tehillim. L'chol tichla, for any enterprise, or Isi Kates, I saw that it comes to an end. Anything in this world is finite. With the exception of Rechava Mitzvascha Ma'od, with the exception of your Mitzvah Hashem, they are infinite. And Rav Chisda comments on this pasuk in Tehillim, that Dover Zeh Amro David V'lo Pirsha. David tells us that Torah and mitzvos are very, very wide, rechava ma'od, but he doesn't tell us exactly how wide it is. Amaro Iov v'lo pirsho. So too, Iov told us how wide the Torah is, but he never exactly pinned it down. How wide is it? Amaro Yechezkel v'lo pirsho. Yechezkel also indicated that the Torah is very, very wide. Achaba Zachariah ben Ido Uperisho, until the Novi Zachariah comes at the end of Tanakh to identify and determine exactly how wide the Torah is. And the Gemara now takes apart this statement of Rav Chisda piece by piece. Amro Dovi Vilo Persha Dixiv L'chol Tichla Ra'isi Kates Rechava Mitzvosecha Me'od. So David already indicated that unlike other finite objects and enterprises, Torah and mitzvos is very, very wide. But, you know, how wide is wide? Amro Iov, v'lo pirsho d'ksiv. Iov says about the Torah, Arucha me'eretz mido rechava min hayam, that the Torah is so great that it's beyond the measurements of the earth and it's wider than all the seas. But he doesn't tell us exactly how large is the spans. Amar Yechezkel v'lo pirsho d'ksiv. Vayifros osa lefanai, v'hi ksuva panim v'achar, v'kasuve leha kinim v'hege v'hi. So there are many words in this pasuk that the Gemara is going to have to take apart now piecemeal. But what we have to understand is that the subject of this pasuk is a Megillah, which means a scroll, and it's written on both sides of the parchment, and on it is written Kinim, Hege, and Vahi. And this Megillah represents the Torah itself, but Yechezkel doesn't tell us exactly how large is this Megillah. So first let's take apart these three elements here. Number one, Kinim. Kinim zu paranusam shel tzadikim ba'olam hazeh, God will punish tzaddikim for whatever minimum sins they have, because ain't tzaddik ba'aretz, every tzaddik has some sort of deficiency, and he'll be punished here, so that in the next world he has a clean slate, and he could get pure reward without having punishment. V'chein u'omer, another pasuk in Yechezkel, kina hi v'konenuha. It's almost like a lamentation. A lamentation is always related to paronios, to divinely meted out punishment. And in that particular context, the pasuk is talking about the punishment for Mitzrayim, which the Navi saw in a prophetic vision. And here too, there's an indication in the word kinim that we're talking about lamentations for the tzaddikim who suffer in this world. And Hashem, as we said before, wants to make sure that they can accept pure, unlimited schar and reward in the next world. The hege, there's another word in this pasuk called hege. Zo matan scharan shal tzaddikim liyosid lava. Hege refers to the great reward, the infinite reward that is designated for the righteous in the next world. V'chenu omer, and we can prove this from a pasuk in Tehillim, alei higayon b'chinar. And we're singing with and playing a musical instrument, a beautiful harp, because of higayon. And what is higayon a reference to? What's so happy that we're playing these instruments? It's the reward for the tzaddikim that's designated for the next world. Then we have the third word in the pasuk in Yechezkel, vahi. What is vahi? Zui paranusam shal rishayim li asid lava. Which means that the evildoers will be paid up and rewarded for whatever limited merits they have in this world, but in the next world, they will get their punishment will be meted out. V'chenu omer, how do we know that the word vahi is a reference to the punishment for tzaddikim in the next, for Rishoyim, excuse me, in the next world? The pasuk says in Yechezkel Navi, hove al hove tovo. And hove means shever, a breakage, or a suffering, or a punishment. And that's tovo, means it's going to come in the future. Once again, Yechezkel tells us that the Megillah, that has within it allusions to all the rewards for the righteous, and lahavdil for the Rishoyim, all that is written on a gigantic scroll, on two sides of the scroll, but nevertheless, Yechezkel doesn't tell us how large that scroll is. Ad Sheba Zechariah ben Ido Upirsho. From Zechariah ben Ido, we're going to be able to derive exactly how large is the Torah. And I'll read to you the whole pasuk. Tiksiv Yashuv Vaseh. Now this Megillah Afa, which we're going to interpret what that word means, Afa, is a reference to the same Megillah that Yechezkel HaNavi spoke about, upon which the Torah was inscribed. Vayomar Eli, and the Malach turns to Zechariah and says to him, Ma Taroa, what exactly do you see in your vision? Vaomar, and Zechariah reports that I responded, Ani ro'eh Megillah Afa, Arka Esrim Ba'ama, V'rachba Eser Ba'ama. I see a Megillah Afa. The word Afa means a double Megillah. And the Navi actually tells us the Godel, the size of this double Megillah. It's actually twice the length of 20 amma and the width of 10 amma, of 10 amma. Now, if you are going to double this, esrim amma al 10 ammos, then v'chipashet le havile esrim bi esrim. Then, when you stretch out this Megillah on one side, again, later we'll see about the other side, but now it's folded up, so you want to unfold it. So when you unfold it, you're going to double that size of 20 amma on 10 amma. And now you're going to get 20 amma on 20 amma. That's what you, when you double a square, then all you have to do is double one of the two variables. So if you double the variable here, you end up with esrim amma al esrim amma. And again, this was the Megillah that Yechezkel spoke about in his vision, but he didn't tell us the size. Uksiv. And it says in Yechezkel, if we go back, that he ksuva panim v'achar, that this Megillah is written on both sides. And therefore we have to double 20 by 20 amma. V'chi kafaltle, and when you double 20 by 20 kamahavile, what do you end up with? Arboim b'esrim, 40 amma on 20 amma. And this is measured not in human ammos, but in the amma of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now the Gemara is going to try to analyze what exactly is the size of the Amma of HaKadosh Baruch. And the Gemara is going to prove this based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi, Mi madad bishalo mayim, v'shamayim bezeres tiken. And what he's saying is that the mida, the measurement of the world, it's the world itself, is zeres. Zeres is the smallest of the fingers, and it is a chatzi amma on a chatzi amma. So the entire world is one half an amma in the amos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's going to be chatzi amma al chatzi amma, so it's a half amma squared, which is the same as one quarter square amma. And the Torah itself is 40 amma by 20 amma. That's what we decided based on the psukim that we saw in Zechariah Novi. Now, if you take 40 amma on 20 amma, then what you end up with in terms of square ammos, these are God's divine ammos, is 800 square ammos. And in that area called 800 square ammos, you end up with an area that has 3,200 square ammos. Nimtza, it comes out that kol olam kulu, the entire earth, is echad mishloshes alofim masayim shebetorah. The earth itself is 1/3,200 of the Torah. So the Torah is greater than the world by 3,200. And that is what we get from Zechariah HaNovi. Now again, Rabbosai, all this is in human terms, so that when we say that the Torah is greater than the earth itself by 3,200 amos, that sounds like the Torah is limited. Maybe that's the Torah that the human being can hope to have access for, but Torah itself is infinite. What does the Torah mean in Sefer Yirmiyah when he says, Harani Hashem, v'nei shnei duda'ei te'enim mu'adim lifnei heichal Hashem, acharei higolos haglos nevuchadnezzar melech bavel es yechonya ben Yehoyakim melech Yehuda v'sori Yehuda v'sacharosh v'samazger miyushalayim v'yevi'en bavel. In any event, Yirmiyah HaNavi, when he's talking about the post-Golus Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylonia, and he sent Yechaniah ben Yehoyakim, who was the king of Yehuda, into Golus, and together with Yehoyakim went all the Sari Moav, and two categories which are called Charash and Mazgir. They were all exiled from Yerushalayim, and they were brought to Bavel. And Yirmiyah describes two Dudaim. Dudaim are baskets of Te'enim, of figs. And we're going to try to analyze what these two kinds of figs are and why they were set up in two different baskets. Hadud Echad, in one of these two baskets, was Te'enim Tovos Mi'ot, were very outstanding figs. Ki Te'ene, and here we turn to Chav Aleph Amid Beis, Ha Bakuros. Bakuros means the choice figs. Vadud Ha'echad, in another basket, he sees te'enim ros miyod. He sees very, very bitter kind of figs that never ripen. Ashalot ha'chelnu miroa. They're so bad that you couldn't eat them. So we're talking about the period after the Golus of Yechaniah over to Bavel, together with the Cheresh and the Mazger. Now the Gemara in Masechta Gittin interprets that Cheresh and Mazger are different appellations that refer to Talmidei Chachamim. Cheresh are those who, when they speak, everyone is dumbfound. You know, they hang into every word. And Mazger is when they close their mouths, I guess people feel they don't understand what's going on in the Torah. So anyway, these are two categories of Talmidei Chachamim that are described by the Navi as those who went into Golos together with Yechoniah Melch Yudah. And Yirmiyah sees in his prophetic vision two of these pots of, made of nechoshes, actually, and they're full of figs, and they're prepared in front of the Heichal Hashem. One of them has beautiful figs. These are the chashuvos, the te'enim chashuvos, and these are those that quickly ripen. And in the other one, it's te'enim ravos, ro'os, that cannot be eaten. What is the symbolic message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is conveying to the Navi by showing him these two categories of te'enim? And the answer is the following. Te'enim atovos elu tzadikim gemur. Those great figs are symbolic of the great righteous people. Tzadikim gemur, completely righteous. And te'enim ro'os elu reshoim gemur. That's the other polar extreme, total evil to us. And you might say the following, that since these figs are so rotten, then Shematomar Ovad Sivram Ubatel Sikuya, they no longer have any hope, and there's nothing Sikuyam, there's nothing to anticipate in the future. These are completely gone. Talmud Lomer, no. The Pasuk says in Shir Hashirim, Hadudaim Nasnu Reach, and the word Dudaim is in plural, and in Shir Hashirim, there's a reference to these Dudaim, and the Pasuk alludes to the baskets of figs that were described in the vision of Yirmiyah. And Elu V'Elu, why Dudaim Nasnu Reach? Both are giving out a nice fragrant aroma. Sidim Shi'itnu Reach. Ultimately, even the Rishoyim will seek out God. So this is a great message of optimism, and it very much reflects what we saw, if you recall, back on, I think it was Yom Revi'i of last week, where we learned the Agadita earlier in this perek, that even the Rishoyim will do tshuva. And now the Gemara is going to bring a different drasha about the pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Hadudaim Nasnu Reach. The end of the pasuk is Ve'al Psachenu Kol Megadim Chadashim Gam Yishanim Dodi Tzafanti Loch. Dorash Rava, my dechsiv. What's the meaning and the message of the pasuk Hadudaim Nasnu Reach? Elu Bachure Yisrael Shalotamu Tam Chet. These are the young men in Israel who are dedicated to the study of Torah, and they have never tasted any chet. They never came close to a woman to have any bad thoughts or any relationship. These are the pure young men of Israel. And they are completely fragrant. Nasnu reach. Then the pasuk says, Ve'al psachenu kol megadim, as if to say on our openings, our entrances, there are all good things. Megadim are very tasty kind of pastries and so forth. And this, says Rava, is a symbolic metaphor for Benos Yisrael. These are the young girls of Israel. And the word Megadim, which again refers physically to food stuff, but symbolically it refers to Magidos. Magidos means they speak, right? Miloshen Hagada, which is speech. And Pischeim Libalehem, they tell their husbands about their Psachemo, means their openings. In this case, this is an allusion to Dam Nida, and a man will not know that his husband is a Nida unless she tells him. He has no independent way of figuring that out. So she could theoretically conceal that knowledge, but she tells her husband because she wants to make sure that he'll be Pore, she won't have any relationship with her. Lishnachrina, an entirely different version of how Rava interpreted Al Psachenu, Kol Megadim, She'ogdos Pischeim Libalehem. That we take apart the word Megadim, not as Hagada, but as Aguda. Aguda means when you tie things together in a bundle. And again, Pischeim is an allusion to their private areas, and they tie that up. so that it's dedicated exclusively for their husbands, and no one should have access to this. And then the end of the pasuk in Shir Shirim says, "Chadashim gam yishodim dodi tzofanti loch." What are these chadashim, these new ones, and what are the old ones? The old ones represent or allude to the Torah itself. You know, it's all the statutes, the commandments, and the mandates in the Torah. Those are old. They date back, you know, to the beginning of history. But there are new mandates and new commandments that are enacted by the Chachamim. These are called Gzeros Chachamim. And Chadoshim means Nischadshu b'chol dor v'dor, that in every generation the Chachamim will decide what kinds of gader or siyagim, what kinds of fences to prevent us from averus they have to set up. And now we go back to the word megadim, which we said was speech in the first interpretation. And Knesset Yisrael, who in Shir HaShirim is represented by the Raya, the beloved, and the Kala, turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Megadim, Megidos, and Amra Knesset Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Harbe Gzeros Gazarti Al Atzmi, Yosef Yimasha Gazarta Olai, Vikiyam Tim. And Knesset Yisrael, trying to beautify herself in front of the Dod, in front of the groom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, claims that although you, God, instituted many Gzeros and many enactments and many commandments, but we went even beyond that. Our Chachamim, our great scholars in every generation, have instituted new Gzeros to protect from your Gzeros, and those Gzeros of the Chachamim are even to some extent more nuanced and more extensive than the Torah law. The classic example of this is Benos Yisrael, this Gemara Nida, and many other places. Benos Yisrael, Hechmir Al-Atzman, Afilu Rose Tipas Nam Kechardel, Yoshvis Alev Shiva Nikiyim. They see a small amount of dam, which is not enough to really make them into what's called a Zovah Gedola, but nevertheless they'll sit seven Nikiyim like a Zovah Vikiyam Tim. And it's not that we instituted these Gzeros and then we disregarded them, we fulfilled them. And that's our claim in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is how committed we are. This is how dedicated and devoted and loyal we are to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So this pasuk in Shir HaShirim is all about loyalty. Amale Rav Chisda Lahumi Rabbono. Now, Rav Chisda is turning to what we call a Mesader Agadita. There were two types of experts at the time of the Amoraim. There was one expert in the halachic part of the Shas, there was another in the agadic part of the Shas. Rav Chisda turns to one of the great rabbis of his time, who was in charge of Haviko Mesader Agadita Kamei. He would organize the agadic philosophical statements to analyze the Hashkafa of the Torah. And Rav Chisda says, since you're the expert on Agada, can you tell me, please, Mishmielecha, have you heard anything about this pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Chadoshim Gam Yishonim? What is that a reference to? Mao, Omar Leh, so the Chacham responds to Rav Chisda, Chadoshim Elu Mitzvos Kalos, and Yishonim Elu Mitzvos Chamuros. In other words, when you take the very heavy, strict mitzvos of the Torah, you could divide them into two parts. They're the chamuros shebechamuros, the most strict and demanding with the highest punishment, heaviest punishment. And then there are kalos shebechamuros. So for example, if you take Shabbos, so you have the Malacha Shabbos, which generated chiyuv skila. You have Tchum Shabbos, which is only an isur. Or for example, in Arayos, you have real bona fide Gili Arayas with a Chiyuv Misa, and then you have Yichud with an Erva, which is a lower kind of a Chiyuv. And the word Yishonos is a reference to the Ikar HaMitzvah, the fundamental mitzvah, which is really Chamuros Shebachamuros, and Chadoshim means relatively light or lenient, which means that even though they are within the context of the Chamuros, but they're certainly not as severe. Amalei. So Rav Chisda says, I don't understand. Are you telling me that the Yeshanim, the older ones, which means that in chronological sequence, they came first, and then the Chadashim came later on? I don't understand. Are you able to say that some of the mitzvahs are older than some of the other mitzvahs? That's impossible. All the mitzvahs, whether it's the kalos, the chaburis, they were all given at Har Sinai. So that you can't tell me the chadashim and yeshanim divides up categories of mitzvahs. Ela, says Rav Chisda, you know what I would say? And he's partially influenced by the Ahuv Merabbanan, but he wants to take it a slightly different way. Halalu, meaning the shanim, divrei Torah, halalu mi divrei sofrim. And therefore, you should not divide up the oraisas, like we said before, there's melachas of Shabbos and tchum Shabbos, but rather we're going to talk about dividing up the oraisas with the gzeres chachamim that came historically in a later chronological period of time. So that basically, we have Torah shebichsav, we have Torah shebal peh, and Torah shebal peh will include what we call the Yud Gimel Mido Shatorah Nidreshes Bahem. And beyond that, we have Gzeros and Takonos and Minhagos that were instituted by Chazal. And they are called Divrei Sofrim. So we have these three levels. We have Torah Shebichsav, Torah Shebal Peh, and as an extension of Torah Shebal Peh, we have Divrei Sofrim. And the latter are called, in the language of the Pasuk, Chadoshim. Dorash Rava, Maidachsiv, Pasuk in Koheles, Vioser Mehema Bini Hizor Aso Sfarim Harbe. Be careful about many Sfarim. Make sure that you create many Sfarim, Ein Kates, Velag Harbe Gias Bosar. Now, right before this Pasuk, and it doesn't appear in the text of our Gemara, it says, Divrei Chachamim Kidarbanos. And that pasuk is referring to Torah Shebal Peh, which was given to Moshe at Har Sinai, and it was given by the Roeh Echad, that one shepherd, and that's a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And over the course of time, unfortunately, the Chachmei Yisrael got into all sorts of machlokas and debates about Torah Shebal Peh, because Nismatu Alavos Unishkechu, they forgot a lot of the Torah. And now the next pasuk says, V'yoser mehema b'ni hi zoher, which means, says Rav, b'ni, God is turning to the people of Israel and he's saying, Hizor b'divrei sofrim. Make sure that you're very meticulous about fulfilling the words of the Chachamim. And the yoser at the beginning of this pasuk means, even more, me divrei Torah, from the Divrei Torah that were given in the Torah Shebichsav at Har Sinai. Why? Why should we be more careful about Divrei Sofrim, which were instituted by the Chachamim? She Divrei Torah yesh bahem asei v'los asei. You could divide up the mitzvahs of the Torah. Some are only an essay. Some are only a los asei. V'divrei Sofrim will span both categories. Kol over al divrei sofrim, chayav misa. Again, we're not talking about condemning him in the court for death, but rather misa b'dei shamayim. And this is based on a pasuk. In that same context, it says, uporeitz gadar yishchenu nachash. So if he's poreitz the gedar of the chachamim, he'll be punished by the bite of a snake. Shematomrim kein yesh b'em mamish. Is mipnei malo nichtavu. If you're telling me that with regard to divrei sofrim, we have such a chumrah that it's upgraded to the status of violation as a chayv misa b'dei shamayim, so why aren't they included in the Torah? And the mefarshim say that ata shedivrei Torah shebal peh einam ksuvim. He says the Gemara, really, the underlying problem here that the Gemara is raising is that since they're not written down, therefore, it's very easy for man to come up with different views, and all sorts of controversies and debates arose, and people might come to the conclusion that this is less important. Lo ichvas lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe God doesn't care about it. So the Gemara answers, Amakra, the Pasuk comes here to answer this question by saying, Asos Sfarim Harbe Ein Keitz. Koheles tells you that we have to write all these books without any limit, because there's so many issues that'll come up and so many scenarios. It's infinite during the course of history. They can't be written down. There's no way that you could write and include that which is infinite. And therefore, we have to have a... which key? I may have to take a break to help my wife if she doesn't find it.
No, it's fine.
Okay, she found it. Great. Is therefore, Shlomo Mel tells us that we have to write all these Sfarim because it's impossible to create something in writing that really requires infinity. And therefore, we are enjoined in every generation to write those books, which are called Midivrei Sofrim. Sofrim means scribes. Now the Gemara goes back to the end of the pasuk, V'lag harbe yigias basar. Very strange pasuk. What is the comparison here to yigias basar? And what is v'lag? And the Gemara offers a machlokas, two interpretations of the word v'lag. Omer ha-papa, b'reid rav acha bar ava, ada mishmeid rav acha bar ula melameid shekala malik. So the word lag should be reformulated as la'ag with an ayin, which is a little bit of a problem, because lahag is written in the Torah with a hey. But anyway, haloeg al divrei chachamim nidon b'tzor osachas. A terrible punishment for someone who is laid back and has a facetious kind of attitude towards the words of the chachamim. And the words here, yigias basar, means the flesh of a person works overtime to digest his food until the excrement comes out. So this is a reference to a kind of a terrible punishment. Maskif lo Rava. Rava objects to this interpretation. Miksiv lahag, lahag ksiv. You have to be more honest about and committed to the way the word is written with a hey, not a lag with an ayin. Ela kol ha-hoge bohen. Lag is miloshon hoge. And the pasuk is not being negative and warning us about punishments, but rather being positive. Hoge means to really work very hard, to try to use all your abilities and intellectual capabilities and try to understand it. And toing tam basar, which means like basar, every time you eat another piece of meat, you get more of a tam out of it and so forth. You'll get more, in the metaphysical symbol here, you'll get more of spiritual pleasure every time you come up with a different insight into the Torah. Tanu Rabbanan, this is an amazing story about Rabbi Akiva. I mean, we realize that Rabbi Akiva came from a different world, but this is an amazing story. And the reason why the Gemara quotes this story is not so much to teach us about the greatness of Rabbi Akiva, but to teach us about how important it is to be meticulously committed and dedicated to fulfill Divrei Sofrim. Maisa Rabbi Akiva Shayachovich Bebeis Hasurim, he was locked up in jail. And they only allowed him on a daily basis to a very, very limited amount of water and bread, just to keep him barely alive, till eventually they put him to death anyway. Hayu Rabbi Yeshua Garsi, there was a certain individual, Rabbi Yeshua Garsi. Some say Geres is the word, but in any event, Misharso, he was the one who was in charge and was recognized as the legitimate person to go in and out of the cell of Rabbi Akiva. He got the green light. There was a certain very limited amount of water that would give him enough for drinking and enough for washing his hands to eat the bread. But Yom Echad Mitzol Shomer Beis Asurim, this very rotten guy who's in charge of the jail, finds Rabbi Yeshua, who is coming in with the water. Amalo, so he says to Rabbi Yeshua, I see Hayom Mechum Rubin, you're carrying in too much water. You're only allowed to carry enough water for this man to drink. He starts accusing Rabbi Yeshua that he's going to take this extra supply of water and he's going to pour it on the ground and he's going to loosen up the ground so that they can now possibly dig a tunnel and take Rabbi Akiva out of the jail. And therefore, Shafa Chetzim Shalamayim Venosalo. Chetzim. He pours out half the water and he gives him only enough water for Rabbi Akiva to drink to barely keep him alive. Sheba, Rabbi Yeshua Garcia, it's Rabbi Kiva, and he's holding a cup that holds only half of the water. Omalo, Rabbi Kiva says to Rabbi Yeshua, Yoshua, einata yodea shezokin ani, aren't you aware of the fact that I'm an old person? I'm very weak. Chai tluyim b'chayech, I'm totally dependent upon you for my life. And how could it be that you brought me so little water? Sachlo, Rabbi Yeshua tells him, kol osa ma'ora, the whole story with the shomer. Amalo, Rabbi Akiva responds, Tainli mayim she'etol yodai, give me the water so that I can wash my hands and eat the bread. Amalo, Rabbi Yeshua Garsi turns to Rabbi Akiva and he says, Lishtos ein magim, litol yodecha magim, there's not even enough water for you to drink, barely. And you're going to take this water and you're going to pour it on your hands? You cannot, there's no way, you can't, you, this water is not voluminous enough for you to both drink it and wash your hands. So you better drink this water to keep yourself alive. Amalo, Rabbi Akiva says, Ma'esa, I don't have any choice. Shechayovim aleihem, I have to wash my hands. Without washing my hands, Misa, I'd be chayav Misa, because I'd be scoffing at the words of the Chachamim. And this was a mitzvah that I will soon see was instituted by Shlomo HaMelech himself, that we have to wash our hands before we eat bread. Mutav sha'amus misas atzmi, I'd rather die on my own because of the lack of water. V'lo ever al das chaverai, and I will not violate the gzera of my colleagues who prohibit you from eating bread without washing your hands. Amru lo tam klum, Rabbi Akiva did not drink anything. Ad shehevi lo mayim v'notol yodav, he took the little bit of water that Rabbi Yeshua had brought for him and he washed his hands. Ksheshomu chachomim b'dover, when the story got out, the chachomim commented, Amru ma b'ziknusa, look in his old age when he's old and weak. Kach, this is the way he behaves. This is how careful he is to fulfill the divrei chachomim. He goes through such pain and suffering. Doesn't drink the water, be al duso, alachas kam v'kam, we could only imagine how careful he was in his youth when he was at the epitome of his strength. Umave beis asurim kach, imagine under the pressure and the tension of being incarcerated for who knows what's going to happen to him. Ishalove beis asurim, when he would have his wits about him and not be overwhelmed by the situation he finds himself in, alachas kam v'kam, how much more so would he be so careful about divrei chacham. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmul B'shoshet Tikein Shlomo Erevin Unetilas Yadayim. Shlomo Melch made two major enactments that he's very famous for in Shas. One is Erevin, which means that you cannot carry out from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid without an Erev. And this was a gzera that he instituted in order that people should not carry from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. And he established Unetilas Yadayim, which is a siag for taros. As that moment that he enacted these two mitzvos, the Rabbanon Yotza Baskol V'Yomra B'ni, this is a pasuk in Mishle, and the divine voice declares, my son, Im Chacham Libecha Yismach Libi Gam Ani, you are a Chacham, you have to be happy with your achievements, and I'm happy with your achievements, declares the Almighty. V'Omer further, Chacham B'ni V'Samach Libi V'Shiva Harpi Dovah. Dorash Rabba Maidat Siv. What does the pasuk in Shir HaShirim mean when it says, Lecha dodi, Neitzea sode, Nolina bakfarim, Nashkima lakramim, Nireem parcha gefen, Pitach hasmadar, Heneitzu arimonim, Shom etain, Es dodi loch. And this pasuk, which describes the beautiful rendezvous between the dod and the raya, is going to now be analyzed piece by piece by Rava. And again, this is the Raya turning to the Dod. Amra Knesset Yisrael lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam. Al tidineni ki yoshvei krochim. Don't judge me like the city dwellers. Right? Because the Pasuk says, Neitzei HaSadeh, we're out in the fields. We're not in the city, in the urban areas. Why? Sheyesh Bahem, what goes on out there in the marketplace, in the big city slickers, is Gezel. There's a lot of theft going around. There's a rayos, men and women are mixing shua shav, shua sheker, in order to retain your monetary rights in some sort of dispute. People are taking false oaths. Where are we? We're not out in the city. We're not inside the city in the marketplaces. But neitzei asadeh, we're out in the fields. We're sweating it out in order to eke out a living. Bov ar-ech, ar-acha, talmidei chachamim, sha-oskim b'torah mitoch ha-tchak. They eke out a small living by working the fields. They don't want to be exposed to all the alluring dangers and spiritual dangers that lurk in the shuk. And lo nino b'kfarim, al tikri b'kfarim. It's not that we're sleeping in the villages, el b'kofrim. Why don't you take a look at those who are denying God? Bo v'arech zaroh shel Esav. Compare us to the offspring of Esav. Sheshpatel lahem tova. Despite the fact that you've given them all the good stuff. And we know that the children of Esav are very wealthy and they have great resources and great land. But nevertheless, em kafru b'cha. Nevertheless, they deny your existence. We're eking out a living and we are singing your praises. So you should love us the way we love you. Nashkima lekramim. We wake up to go out into the vineyards. Elu, this is a symbolic representation of Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos, which have seats that are set up in rows that look like a vineyard. Nirem parcha gefen. And now the Pasuk details various categories of scholars that are sitting row by row, studying the base in the base HaKnesset, the base HaMedrash. First, we start with Balei Mikra, and then Pitach HaSmadar, Elu Balei Mishnah, Hei Netzu HaRimonim, Elu Balei Gemara. These are all the experts in the different disciplines of Torah study. And the Mefarshim here, especially the Marsha, go into detail about each one of these types of vegetation and how they represent, whether it's Mikra, whether it's Mishnah, whether it's Talmud, or if you want to call it Gemara, in each case. I'll give you one example. Smadar is larger than a perach. So a perach is just the flower, and smadar is already the beginning of the growth. And that's the Mishnah. That goes beyond the Mikra. And then it develops even further to Rimonim. Rimonim are obviously fully grown pomegranates. Then the end of the pasuk says, Shom etenes dodi loch, ar-ech kvodi v'godli, shevach banai ubnosai. In other words, the end of this pasuk is, how are we raising our children? I want to show you whatever glory I have, whatever worth I have that's laudable, it's only because of my children, my boys, my girls. And this pasuk we've already interpreted earlier, when we spoke about Dudaim Nasnu Reach Al Psachemo Kol Megadim. Omer Avam Nuna Maidik Siv. Pasukim Malachim Aleph. It says, Vaidaber Shloshes Alofim Moshal. It describes Shlomo Melech as giving 3,000 metaphors. Vaihi Shiro Chamisha Va'olef. Melame, this Pasuk teaches us, Omer Shlomo Al Kol Dover, Dover Shal Torah, Shloshes Alofim Moshal. He gave 3,000 explanations to understand every single piece of Torah. That's the genius of Shlomo. Val kol dover dover shel sofrim. And when it came to Divrei Sofrim that we discussed before, Chamisha ve'elef ta'amim. He gave 1,500 different explanations. And these explanations are called in the Pasuk, Shir. Shir means we study Divrei Sofrim with a Shira and a Zimra, with a certain song. Dorash Rav Amai Dechsiv in Koheles, the Yosef Shaya Koheles Chacham Od, Limad Das Esa'on V'Izan V'Chiker Tikem Mishalom Harbe. In addition to his great wisdom that's embodied in the book of Koheles, he also taught us to know the people Das, they should have Das. And what is this Das? Lime Das Esa'on. How did Shlomo HaMelech convey knowledge to the people? Di Agmere B'Simone Ta'amin. He taught them a Mesoris of Simonim. Simonim means different kinds of devices to help understand the Mishnah and to help remember the Mishnah. The Asbar B'Mai Didomile. And he gave you the ability to make analogies to compare one thing to the other. Izein v'chiker tike m'shalom harbe omar ula omar blozar. The word v'izein, which means to balance, also comes from the word oznayim, ears. Shebetchilai sa Torah doma l'kfifa shein la oznayim. Before Shlomo HaMelech, Torah was like a pot that didn't have handles on it. Ad shebo Shlomo v'asal oznayim. And Shlomo gave us handles to pick up the pot. Because before all his enactments, Klal Yisrael could have violated various averus, but he made takanos like Erevin and Tilsidayim. He also instituted, by the way, the famous Gzeirah of Shnius La'Rayos. And these give us an achizo, like a handle on the mitzvahs, and it keeps us far away from the averos. So all this is symbolically represented by the handles around this kli. And finally, for today, at least, in Shir HaShirim, it says, Kfutzosov taltalim shcharos kol rev, Kfutzosov taltalim amar abchizna amar ukva, melamit sheyesh lidrol shal kol kotz v'kotz tilei tilim shal alochos. On every single extra kotz, you know, the words of the Torah, as they're inscribed, have kotzim, you know, different pointers that come out of each letter, and each one of those pointers can teach us tili tilim, meaning mounds and mounds of halachos. And what we're up to now is shchoros ka'orev. And I know I'm in the middle of something, but we ran out of time. So we'll stop here on the bottom of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And we're up to the last few words on Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, which are shchoros ki'orev. And we'll see how a parent has to treat his children and juggle all that child raising with the study of Torah. Very difficult challenge to balance all that. So that's going to be for tomorrow's Agadat. So we'll stop here. And tomorrow we'll do Chav Beis, Amir Tz Hashem. And I want to wish everyone a great day. Thank you so much.